And so tonight I'm going to preach on miracles again. But I'm going to look at the thought of when God doesn't do the work. Or when God doesn't do the miracle. And I want to ask you the question tonight. What are you going to do when God doesn't do what you want Him to do? What are you going to do? And I think that's a question we can ask tonight. But in Luke chapter 4, I ask you to stand to your feet this evening. And we'll begin to read in verse 16. If you're happy to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Good to be here tonight. Amen. My soul, we could be in a lot of other places tonight, but it's always good to be in the Lord's house. When I tell you this, and I know I tell you this a lot, it seems, but I want you to tell you, I enjoy your company. I enjoy your fellowship. And I just enjoy being around you tonight and being around God's people. Now, you may not feel that way about being around you, preacher, but I sure do like being around you and fellowshipping with you tonight. And I always enjoy fellowshipping and that with the Lord. Luke chapter 4, look in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, and they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Now, let me park right here for just a minute. Do you remember what the people said in his home country and in his hometown? You know what they said? "Is not this Joseph's son?" Now, do you know what the people are saying right here in verse 32? They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Well, what a great difference of what people saw right there and how they perceived him. And in the synagogue, verse 33, "There was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone, that we, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirit, and they come out.' And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hand on every one of them and healed them. And the devils came out of them crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him and stayed him, and he, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the cities, in the synagogues of Galilee. You can be seated tonight. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we thank you again and that for another opportunity to be here. I thank you for these dear people that have come. I pray they have come ready to hear the word of God tonight. And Lord, I pray that you just touch us for just a little while and anoint us afresh from heaven. And Lord, I've got a thought and I've got scripture, but if you don't help it tonight, it's going to fall flat. But Lord, I know that if you'll touch it, folk will get help tonight and find encouragement from the word of God. If there's somebody here lost, I pray you might save them. And Lord, that you'd just touch them to be saved tonight. Help us now while we preach, and we'll give you glory. And save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I know I read a lot tonight. I wanted you to understand what was going on in this passage of Scripture. And as I said in the introduction here before I read, we preached on the God of miracles last Sunday night. And we see that in the latter part of this chapter that he done many great miracles. He healed people. He cast out the devils that was in folk. I still think the devil gets in folk today. Amen. I remember hearing a woman on the, when Brother Fred had testimony time still on the radio. I remember her saying, you just pray for my son. He's just full of the devil. And I thought, my soul, for a mama to say that, that's a pretty big statement right there. But when we looked at this, we seen that the devils in that, they cried out. And who did they call him? What did he call him? They said, thou art Jesus of Nazareth. I asked if they have come to destroy. Have you come to destroy us? They knew that he had the power to do that. And as a matter of fact, I believe it is in the book of Matthew. It might be in the book of Luke. But if you remember the story about Legion, you remember when he came, they asked him this question, art thou come to destroy us before our time? And so they know that there's a time out there somewhere when they're going to be judged and they're going to be destroyed in the eternal lake of fire. But we find right here that as they would call him, they knew, if you look in verse 41, thou art Christ, the Son of God, and the devils knew more about him than some people know today. They knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then we find in this passage, not only had he done great works, but when he had come to his hometown, he was not able to do any work there. If you take your Bible and go with me, I'm trying to lay a foundation now. Stay with me. In Matthew chapter 13, look with me in Matthew chapter 13. And we find a companion scripture to this passage here in Matthew chapter 13. Look in verse 54. And he says, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not he his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Which then hath this man all these things? They could not believe who he was. They were struggling with who he was. He was Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. Now notice what your Bible says in verse 57. Look what your Bible says. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now we find in the Old Testament and in the four Gospels and even in part of the books of Acts, we understand and know that miracles and signs and wonders was done for the nation of Israel. I don't think we can argue that point tonight. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 1 said, for the Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto us which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's not miracles anymore that points to who Christ is. It's not miracles and signs and wonders that we should be looking for, but it should be the gospel that does the work of God today. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find in this passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 4. I mean, you don't have a problem with that, do you? Are you saying God don't do me? No, I know. If you was here last week, that was one thing I tried to get over last week, is He is still a God that is capable and able and does things that is beyond our mind. What was it, Ephesians 3 and 20? Now unto Him that is able to do that which above what we ask or think. Exceedingly above what we ask or think. I believe the God in heaven tonight can do more than what we could ever think about, let alone ask Him to do tonight. I believe that. Don't you believe God's almighty tonight and He can do as He pleases? I mean, listen, Joshua asked Him to set the sun in the place while he went and whipped the enemy, and that's what God done. God just stopped the sun from moving. You say, how's that work, preacher? We revive around the sun. I ain't got a clue how it works, church. All I know is God stopped the sun. That's all I know tonight. And so, I still believe God does miracles. But I believe they were in that time for the nation of Israel. But I still think He's capable and able and still does. But I want you to look in verses, in the text verse, in verse 25, 26, and 27. He talks about when Elijah, right here in verse 25, Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, he was sent unto a widow woman. It says, but unto none of them, in verse 26, was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. You know that there was many widow women that day? In that time. And I made mention of this last Sunday night, but she was the only one that Elijah was sent to. And she was the only one that her house got to experience that meal barrel and that cruse of oil that never run dry. And she was the one that got to experience when her child died, when her son died, that Elijah raised him from the dead. Remember that? She got to experience that. All because that's where God sent Elijah. Well, what about all them other widow women up there in Zarephath at that time? What about all the other widow women that was there in the days of Israel at that time? Look with me in verse 27. Look what it says. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias. I told about Elijah, Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. Notice right here that Naaman, during the days of Elisha, he was the only leper that was cleansed. Out of all the lepers that there was, the miracle that got performed. But do you remember how Naaman got and that to Elisha? Do you remember that? It was a little Israelite maiden girl that got him over. You remember that story in 2 Kings chapter 5? Would to God that my master was with the man of God in Israel and he'd surely heal him. You remember that story? And all because of Israel. And by the way, I believe that a widow woman of Zarephath was a Gentile. And I know that Naaman was a Gentile. And they got healed because of the backslidden condition of the nation of Israel right there. And they found help. But I began to consider, by the way, that was us, by the way. You realize that, don't you? When Israel got in the backslidden condition and they never come to Christ, you realize that's how we got in. Romans chapter 11 said that we were grafted in because Israel got cut off. Right? Amen. Read Romans chapter 11. Hey, had Israel done what they were supposed to do, we'd have come in through them. But because of their unbelief. But I want to ask us some questions tonight. I thought about these other people. I thought about those other lepers. And I thought about those other widow women that was in the days of those prophets. Reckon what they thought about things. Now tonight we understand as he uses this as an example that all these things was going on because of Israel's unbelief. Or was not going on actually. And that's what he was telling them. He said, look, there was only one widow woman. There was only one Naaman who was a leper that God healed. And he was trying to get them to see because of their backslidden condition and their unbelief is why the miracles will not happen. Tonight, I know we have to have faith in the Lord. I understand that. But have you ever asked yourself this question? This is point number one. Why won't the Lord do the work? You say, well, are you questioning? I ain't questioning the Lord. Sometimes I just wonder about things. I've asked Him, I've talked to Him, I've wanted to see Him work, I've got faith in Him, I've trusted Him with my heart, with my soul, I'm trying to live for Him, but why won't He do the work? One, it may seem like He's not doing the work, but you never know what He's doing in the background. Now, you never know what's going on in the background. We like to see what's going on in the foreground, but me and you never knows what God's got going on in the background. He may just answer your prayer come tomorrow. He may just answer your prayer come this evening and do it in a way that you couldn't imagine tonight. Can I say, though, that He will never and that force His will upon anybody. And what I mean by that, I know that a lot of us have spent time praying for people, praying that they would get saved, praying that God would convict their heart, that God would deal with them. But I'm telling you tonight, until somebody opens their heart into receiving Christ as their Savior, He will not force Himself upon anybody. And we don't know the work that God's trying to do in somebody's heart. We don't know what He's trying to do. And I listen tonight. If you're praying for somebody to get saved, then you just keep praying for them to get saved. But preacher, why won't He do the work? Why won't He just do what I feel like is needed? Can I say tonight that sometimes we don't know what's going on in the background, and maybe He is working in that way. It's just not right now. He will not force His will upon anybody. He will not make anybody get right. He will not make anybody get saved. He won't do that. But sometimes it's simply because that's not God's will. I'm not a Calvinist, nor am I a hyper-Calvinist, but I do believe God has a will. And just like you have a will for your children tonight, as you're raising these little ones, you've got a will for them, and no matter how much sometimes they've got a will of their own and they want to see something done, you know what's better for them than they do. Can I tell you tonight, God knows what's better for us even when we don't know what's good for us tonight. 1 John chapter 5, He put it like this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that you do have confidence in Him tonight, don't you? Boy, would to God that every one of us would keep confidence and faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And to say, I don't ever want to lose my confidence in Him. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Then what is it? That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. But notice where it starts at. That if we ask anything according to His will. I don't know any other way to explain that except to ask according to His will. I don't know anything else. I mean, I don't know any other way to explain that or to look at that or to say that God has a will tonight and to ask Him according to His will. And if we do ask according to His will, I know that He'll hear me tonight. Well, I just don't understand, preacher. Why it is this way. I don't understand why God... Can I tell you tonight, there's going to be some things that me and you are never going to understand why God didn't do or God did do. We're never going to understand them. Isaiah chapter 55, He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He said, you don't think like I do. What was it that He said? He trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. But He said, don't lean to your own understanding. But why won't he do the work? Let me ask you something tonight. Have you ever asked God to do something and you're still asking him to do it right now? You're still asking him to work a miracle. You're still asking him how to make a move. You're still asking him to do a work that is beyond you or beyond anybody else. And if he don't move, then it's going to be a mess, or it's already a mess, and you don't know what's going to happen. God sometimes has other plans that me and you don't understand right now. Sometimes his will is not for it to happen. Now, there's one thing that Brother Marvin that I struggle with, and that's waiting sometimes. Sometimes it's not that God won't do it, it's just that God ain't going to do it right now. Sometimes it's just wait. Sometimes it's just wait, and for whatever reason, God wants you to wait. One of the hardest words in the English language is wait. Sometimes it would be better if it was just no. I can live with no. I can live with yes, but when it comes to wait, it's just hard to wait, ain't it? We get that care, don't we? That I preached on last Sunday morning, that anxiety. God may have other plans, though, that you and I don't understand. Sometimes God says no or does not work the work so that me and you will keep calling on him. Sometimes it is to keep us in a place of humility that we might be able to experience his grace. There's some places that some of you all have been, had God not allowed some things to happen, or if he would have done what you wanted him to, then you would have never been able to experience and see God's grace like you've seen it in your life. Take your Bible and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Say, well, I'd rather had what I had is to experience his grace. I don't know, friend. You should know these verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, do you understand what's going on right here? The Apostle Paul has been given so many revelations, and to keep him humble, God has allowed the messenger of Satan to come and buffet on him, which is to beat on him. That's basically what's happening right here. God has revealed himself so much to the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read the earlier part of this scripture, he's talking about being called up into heaven and hearing things that were unlawful and that to utter. That's what he's talking about. And then he said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." Well, he should have kept on praying. No, he got an answer. At least on the third time he got an answer. Look in verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Had Paul never had to suffer through and that the buffeting of the messenger of Satan, then he would have never understood as much as he did about how that God's grace is sufficient. There are some places that some of you all have been that had God not been so real to you then, you'd have never made it. Had he not smiled on you when he did, when his grace come by and hugged up on you and loved on you, and he made himself so real to you. But yet, had he done what you wanted him to do, you would have never got to experience his grace like you experienced it. I don't know anybody that wants to be beat on, especially by the messenger of Satan. A lot of people have had a lot of ideas about what he meant right there. I think he meant exactly what he said, that he was just beat on by the messenger of Satan. He sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. But Paul said, "Lord, would you take this away? I don't know if he prayed it 3 times in a row. I don't know if he prayed 3 days in a row. I don't know if he prayed it 3 weeks, once a week for 3 weeks. I don't know. He don't tell us. All he told us was that he prayed 3 times and God answered him. You know, we sing an old song sometimes. We'll understand it better by and by. Do you know that's the truth? There's some things we're not going to understand why God did or didn't do what he done. And I think when we get to the by and by, it probably won't matter when we get there. You remember what I asked you at the beginning of this? Why God ain't doing the work? And then you remember what I asked you, and this is point number 2. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you pray and God does not answer your prayer? So it seems. What are you going to do when heaven gets shut up like brass? And listen, if you're living for God and you're serving Him, if you backslid and there's sin in your life, that's why heaven's shut up, man. You just need to get right with God. That's all you need to do. But what are you going to do when it just don't go the way you want it to, or that miracle don't come, or God don't work like you think that He's going to work? Or are you going to quit? I mean, you going to give up on the Lord? I mean, there's been folk quit on the Lord because God didn't work the way that they thought He should. You remember, we read about the story of Naaman. Do you remember? Or take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 tonight. I'm going to show you this. Some of y'all know this. I've preached on it before. 2 Kings chapter 5. So Naaman, we'll pick up in verse 9. If you remember, the king of Syria, Naaman was a great man in the army. He was a captain of the host of Syria. And the king of Syria sent a letter over to the king of Israel and said, "I sent my man Naaman for you to heal him." And I'm telling you, the king of Israel, he just got all tore up. And he came to pass in verse 7, the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill, to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Verse 8, "And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king and said, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha," I love this, this is my most favorite part. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.'" You say, what's the favorite part there? He sent a preacher boy out there. That's what he done. He sent a preacher boy out there. Elisha didn't even get out of his easy chair. He sent a messenger out there to the door and said, "Go out there and tell Naaman to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and his skin will come to him again." But I want you to watch what happens right here. Verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abnon and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be made clean?' And the answer is no." He could not go wash in Abnon and Pharpar. They were not better, not that day. They might have been cleaner any other day, but they were not better that day. He needed to go down to the River Jordan. Hey, some people need to go to the River Jordan. Y'all understand that tonight. Come and get cleaned up. And his servants talked him in to going. You know, Naaman was going to go on into his life as a leper because he didn't get the answer that he wanted. He said, "Behold, I thought." Sometimes we think that God is going to do something one way. I'm still praying about some things. I'm still seeking God about some things. And he still ain't moved. ain't going to quit. If I'm going to make a great big statement right here, and I ain't on it being true, but if I keep praying the same thing for the rest of my life, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stay after it. I don't have any other choice. Until he says no, I'm going to keep on praying, or until he answers it, one way or the other. Are you going to quit? Or are you just going to keep on believing and trusting the Lord? Did you ever trust him to save you? I mean, did you come to a place to where you knelt and you may not have knelt physically. You probably did, but you might not have. But you knelt your heart and that to the God of heaven and saw your sinful condition and asked him to save you. You put your trust and faith in him to keep you through all eternity. That's what I did. But yet, it seems like some people want to quit when God don't answer it the way he wants or the way they want. I thought about what Job said in Job 13. He said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Job said, everything he's put me through is going to kill me, but I'm going to trust him. When God don't work like you want him to, when God don't do the miracle that you so much desire, you're still going to have to trust him. What's plan B? I'm being honest tonight. What are you going to do if you ain't going to trust him? What's your other option? Things ain't always going to work out the way that we have it. I mean, what was it? Job said, man who's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're always going to have those. Paul was buffeted by the messenger of Satan. I mean, all these things coming. We read this morning about everything that Paul went through for the cause of Christ. You think that's the way he thought his life ought to go? I tell you, when I was studying this, I was a little nervous because I don't know what tomorrow's bringing. I don't know what next week's bringing. But I know who's got me. Who's got you? He said in 1 Peter 1, he said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said you ain't seen him, but you believe him. You trust him. He will strengthen us through that time. I come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as he told the Apostle Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I come back to point one. You know why God might be doing what he's doing? Is to give you more strength than what you could imagine. It might be because, yeah, this is what you want to happen over here. But boy, if this happens over here, well, he's really gonna show out over here. We think he's gonna show out over here, but man, if this don't happen here, he's really gonna show out. We just don't understand. I think sometimes people get the idea that because God doesn't do it the way they want him to, the way that they want him to, that he doesn't care for them, or that he's not listening, or that he's not paying attention. For us that have been saved for a while, I'm going to ask you tonight, has God ever answered your prayer? It's not only the prayer of salvation, but have you ever prayed and God moved? That excites me. I'll be honest with you, I don't see that every day. Not that I see, but every now and again, he'll come by. And he's listened to what I asked him to do. He's heard my supplication and he's heard my prayer. And he's done something that was beyond me. And he may not do what I'm asking him to do today. And he may not do it tomorrow. But because I know on the authority of God's word and on the experience that I've had, and by the way, it is an experience, amen, I'm just going to keep on trusting him and going on. Now, I don't know what tomorrow holds, and it may get bad. I'll just be honest with you. Tomorrow may be a bad day. But I'm telling you right now, I know that he cares for me, and he listens. I may not understand. Let me say this. I'm going to close, okay? I know I've been a little short tonight. I know some of you probably don't care, but I've been a little short tonight. But you think Job understood everything that was going on? You remember what I've told you before many times about Job? We have Job chapters 1 and chapters 2. We understand why what happened, happened. We understand that. We have an explanation in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We understand what Satan was up to. We understand the competition that was going on and that God presented Job. We understand all that. Do you think Job understood all that? I don't believe he did. I mean, I've read the book of Job. I don't think he had an understanding at all of why what was going on in his life. But he never gave up on the Lord. Though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. And sometimes we get tore up that God is just not going to answer our prayer and do the work. Job had lost everything, but yet he was still going to trust God, even though he felt like he was going to kill him. What are you going to do when God don't do what you want him to? What are you going to do? Let's bow our heads tonight. Brother Marvin, if you'll come to the piano. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse tonight. I think we need to sing tonight. He said, "Preacher, I've been praying and praying and praying. And God just don't seem like he's going to move. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting." Well, preacher, he didn't answer it the way that I wanted him to. He didn't pull the miracle off. He didn't do it like I wanted him to. As a matter of fact, he's not done it at all. He had a reason tonight. We may not understand it. Our ways are not his ways, nor our thoughts his thoughts. They're far higher. But tonight, if you need to come and pray, say, "Lord, I just need some strength. I need that grace that the preacher talked about tonight. I need some grace and strength. And Lord, for you just to help me get through this." I know he'll help you tonight. We're going to pray, and then we'll stand and sing. If you need to come, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, I may be somebody here tonight that's struggling with this very thing. They don't understand why you've not worked. They don't understand why you've not done. And Lord, I don't have all the answers. I understand that, and I know that. And I've wondered about things myself, Lord, why you've done in our life and why it's turned out the way that it has. But Lord, we're still just trusting you and looking for your grace. Lord, tonight there may be folk just needing understanding, but get them to see that it's not understanding that sometimes is going to help, but that your grace is sufficient to get them through this and to lean on you. Lord, if there's somebody lost, save them tonight. And we'll thank you. Help in this invitation, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.